And Father, we pray that you would fill us afresh with your Spirit, that we might respond to your grace aright, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So please be seated, and you might like to turn back to our first reading, Acts chapter 4, on page 1096. We've sometimes said before that the Bible writers invite us to play spot the difference. And in our passage today, there is a striking contrast. If we look at the verse just before the verse that we read, chapter 4, verse 31, we read that the church was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in our section, we get this description of the church filled with the Holy Spirit and generous with their prophecy. And then look at chapter 5 and verse 3. Peter said to Ananias, "How is it that Satan has filled your heart and you have lied to the Holy Spirit?" So here's the contrast then. A spirit-filled church and hearts filled by Satan. Let's consider those two pictures in turn. We've already seen something of the early church's attitude to possessions when we looked at chapter 2 together. Just turn back to chapter 2 and verse 44. Well, let's go from verse 42. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer." And that word fellowship in verse 42 is the same as the word in verse 44 for having everything in common. It's a rich word that means something like participation or communion or partnership. They shared together in Jesus and with one another, and that had a practical effect on their sharing of their property together, verse 44. "All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need." And now in chapter 4, Luke gives us a fuller description of their attitude to possessions. Chapter 4 and verse 32, "All the believers were one in heart and mind." That was one of the blessings of the new covenant which was promised in the Old Testament. You will be one in heart and mind. And the early church demonstrated this remarkable unity. Not perfectly, of course, as we'll go on to see. But strikingly, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. So they had this unity of heart and mind, which also affected their wallets, their bank balances. They demonstrated it practically. There was no standing on their rights or holding on to their stuff. They shared. That's a challenge to us, isn't it? What if someone else had need of your home, your car, your possessions? Are we willing to share with others? Well, what was it that had motivated this generosity? We can see the key to that, I think, in verse 33. "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them all." Their generosity was a response to what God had done for them in Christ. It was a response to the grace of God. It was the apostles' testimony that shaped and transformed the church. They were filled by the Spirit. Nikita Khrushchev, the Soviet leader, once said, "Communism's failure is its failure to produce the selfless man." Well, what communism could not do, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the testimony about Jesus and God's grace had done in that early church. There were no needy persons amongst them. Again, one of the blessings anticipated in the Old Covenant for the New Covenant. Here is God's New Covenant people enjoying his blessing. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and bought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to those who had need. It's important to realise that the church hadn't become communists. Paul is going to, Peter rather, is going to go on to stress this to Ananias in verse 3 of chapter 5. He'll go on to say, well, the property was your own, and the money was your own after you'd received it. You were free to do whatever you wanted with the sale from the property that you sold. So Ananias and Sapphira's sin is not that they hold back some of the money for themselves, but that they try to lie to the apostles and the church and the Holy Spirit. They want to be thought more generous than they really are. It's the same kind of thing that Jesus spoke about in the Gospels, isn't it? Wanting to do their giving to be seen by other people. No doubt they've seen the example of Joseph, Barnabas, in verses 36 and 37. And they wanted to be like him. Or rather, they wanted to be thought like him. They wanted to have a reputation for generosity that would rival his. A church filled with the Holy Spirit, but also the possibility of hearts filled with evil. Ananias and Sapphira conspire together. They're like a kind of new Adam and Eve, aren't they? As they plot this sin together, as they try to conceal it, as it results in their death. Or it might remind us of the sin of Achan. Do you remember him from Joshua chapter 7? He wants to possess some of the property from Ai, which is to be devoted to the Lord and destroyed, and he tries to steal and hide it, and that too results in his death. Striking, isn't it, that we are dealing here with an awesome and powerful God. Twice Luke tells us that fear fell upon the people. And that kind of awe and respect for God is an appropriate response to what God is like, who he is. In the early church there was a godly unity, but in Ananias and Sapphira there was an ungodly conspiracy. They act like the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Remember Jesus' chilling words to him. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. And that's the experience of Ananias and Sapphira in our passage. Barnabas lived up to his name. He was a son of encouragement. But Ananias and Sapphira failed to live up to their names. Ananias means Yahweh is gracious. And yet he failed to grasp the grace of God and be transformed by it, hasn't he? Sapphira's name means beautiful. So here is an ugly incident as they reject the grace of God. A spirit-filled church, but also hearts filled with Satan. Well, which example will we follow? Will we allow the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the grace of God to transform us, that we might be like Barnabas, sons of encouragement? May God do that work in us for his name's sake. Amen.